So with it being the week of the 4th of July, we have to talk about freedom and what was greatest. God worked it out without me even thinking about it. The message we gave all week about sin was about how to be free from sin. Well, we were talking about freedom. So it kind of all played out. So I want to expand upon what we were talking about a few moments ago. And we're going to be in John 8, verses 31 and 32. John 8, verse 31 reads, Jesus spoke to the Jews who had believed him. If you obey my teachings, he said, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Well, let's face it. We all have those times in life where we feel like we're not really free. Maybe it's work we have to do outside. Maybe it's the fact that we've been really busy and we keep looking out front, and with all that rain, the weeds are just taking over the entire front of our house. Maybe it's when we're in school and we hit Sunday night and we realize we didn't do any of our homework for the week. I was very bad at that as a kid. You can ask my mom. The fact is, we all have those times in our life where we feel weighed down. Well, sin is another thing that weighs us down. It holds us down. It ties us down. And it's not something we can face very easily. It's not something that we can overcome very easily. In fact, it's not something that we can ever do by ourselves. In fact, if we really want to get down to it, I wasn't planning this, so. For those of you who don't know me, I tend to be very impromptu and things come to me and I just decide to go with it. So a lot of people seem to think that if they just live a good life, then that'll be enough. So they try and do some good things. And they say, if I just take it one step at a time, I'll make it and I'll be good enough that God will want to believe in me. So let's say they take that first step. They want to listen to their parents, and they do a good job at it. They listen to their parents all the time. So they're trying to bridge that gap that sin's caused. And they lay that step. They build that stair by listening to their folks. And they go, well, that was just one good thing. Well, you know what? I'll make sure I always tell the truth. So they start working on that second step. They start telling the truth. No more telling the teacher the dog ate my homework. They're honest. Well, I just forgot about it. And that second step gets built. And they lay that one on there. And they go, you know what? God says to love thy neighbor, so I'll make sure I do good things for the neighbor. You know what? The neighbor on the one side's a little older. I'm going to mow their grass this week. I'm going to help them with that. Maybe I'll help them wash their car. I'm going to do something nice for my neighbor. And they start laying that step on. And they build that step on there too. And they're building the stairway one step at a time. And they keep doing more good things and more good things. And they think they're going to make it there. But the fact is, these good things, they're just never going to make it the whole way there. And in fact, well, these books I'm building them out of, they're solidly built. They're strong. In fact, these are even built on, you know, some very good and strong hymns here. But let's be honest. Would any of us be willing to put our weight on this top step here, walk out on it? Probably not. Because we can make it up. But fact is, when it comes to that point where we're getting to the edge of it, it's just going to fall over. There's not enough good works in the world to build a stairway to heaven. The song's wrong. You can't build it. You can't make it. You can't do it on your own. But now God's word It's the word of truth. This book I'm holding is the biggest miracle in the world. It's greater than the sea being parted. Want to know why? How many have ever had, I forget what it's called, but where you line up and you have all the kids in a circle and the teacher starts by telling this kid something and it gets passed along that whole circle. Yeah, the telephone game. By the time that gets back to the teacher, it is nowhere close to what was said. Right? We've all experienced that. This book has been handed down through the ages, translated into different languages. And here's what's amazing about it. It has stayed the same. A lot of people say, well, you can't just go by the Bible. You go by science. Well, guess what? This book here hasn't needed to be revised. It started off true. Nothing has changed. It has stayed true for centuries. Since the first time it has been written down, it stayed true. In fact, everything that was written down in the Old Testament before Jesus was born held up true. Every single promise in the Old Testament held up true when Jesus came. He fulfilled every promise. Unlike our science books that are revised year after year after year because somebody made a mistake. God didn't make a single mistake in this. He gave us the book of truth. And this book, it tells us how we can be free, how we can be free from sin. It tells us how we can overcome the pressures in life that sometimes just feel so overbearing. It feels so crushing. Why is this? Because God tells us we were built and made to give him glory and honor. And he did it in giving us free will, the ability to make a choice of whether or not we want to believe in him or not. Now, if we choose not to, it's going to be like that stairway there. Things are going to seem to fall apart. We were designed to have him. We were designed to need him. We were designed to praise him. When we're singing all those songs, did it feel fun? Did we have a good time? That's exactly what we were designed to do. That's exactly what God created us to do. And in fact, God is just so amazing. He created you, and he wanted you to be here to hear this. He wanted you to be up here to sing this. And he loved you so much. He created you completely unique. There's no one else on the world exactly like you. Because God loved you that much. He drew the you. I mean, that's like the drawing you make for your parents that you hang on the refrigerator. Nobody else could draw it but you. And God designed you that way. And he gave you his Bible to set you free, to teach you how you can be free. But there's a condition with it. You have to be willing to listen to him, and you have to do it with your whole heart. You have to do it in faith. Now, the kids remembered my demonstration on faith, but so the adults can see it, I'm going to ask my helper over here, Deanna, to come up again. Still trusting me? After this whole week, you still willing to trust me?
Yeah.
Okay, can I have your glasses? And once again, the only thing I told her I was going to do was blindfold her and turn around. I'll try and do this without messing up your hair to the best of my ability. Do you see anything? Okay. Now, for a moment, you're going to take a big leap of trust in me. Just believe that my voice is the voice of God, okay? Only voice in here I want you to listen to is me right now. This is an illustration, not fact, so don't take that as a biblical example there. That's about as far from the Bible as you can get is to claim you're the voice of God. So you ready to listen just to me? All right, I want you to take two big steps forward. I want you to turn to your left 90 degrees. All right? Turn to your left again 180 degrees. All right? Turn to your left 90 degrees again. All right? Take a step forward. Turn to your left again. A little more. All right? Turn to your right about a quarter of that. There you go. I want you to take three steps forward. Take one more step forward. I want you to turn to your right. Now go ahead and take three big steps forward. Now remember what I told you. You remember what I said? What did I say when we first started? To only trust me. That's what the Bible tells us. God tells us to only trust him, only trust his word. And we have to hear it enough that we know it. Okay? So can you remember that?
Turn right.
Turn right.
Turn your left again.
Take three steps. Small ones. There you go. Turn to your left again. Turn to your left again. Turn to your left just a little bit. How are you feeling? You still feeling trusting in my voice?
Turn to your right.
This is exactly how life works. What happens in life? We get told different directions. We get told them on a regular basis. Turn left. Turn left. Turn left again. All right, now turn to your right. Sometimes it just don't seem to make sense, but it's what God wants us to do. I want you to take three steps forward. All right, step forward a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Now this time, step up. There you go. Take another step forward. Now turn 180 degrees. Clap your hands. Oh, you can clap louder than that. We have to have faith in God. Because sometimes we have no idea where we're at in our lives. We have no idea what's going on. But out of the blue, he tells us to just sit down and trust that there's something behind him. Can we give my helper a round of applause? The Bible is filled with God's voice. It's called his living word. It's called the truth. If we read it and we stay in it, then we're going to start recognizing God's voice. Then we're going to know the difference when somebody else is trying to lead us astray from what God's directions are. But we have to read it. We have to hear it. We need to study it. We need to learn it. You gotta admit, it would take a giant leap of faith to let somebody blindfold you and just give you directions around a room. When other than hearing a sound of paper every now and then, because we have this road laid out, you have no idea where you're at. God understands that. That's why he gave us the miracle of his Bible. It does take a giant leap in faith to believe in God. But the fact is, he created an entire world around us that proves he exists. Science has never once definitively, 100%, proved the Bible's wrong. anytime. They may come up with theories where they try and say it's false. But the thing they leave out is the difference between fact and theory. In science, theory is what starts the process, not the answer. The facts are the answer. When there's a scientific theory, what it means is there's a bunch of guys who got together and made a choice to say, hey, this is how it happened. But once they say, hey, this is how it happened, they have to prove it. The issue is, most of the time, they can't prove it. Evolution is still just a theory because no one can prove it. The Bible is fact. No one's ever been able to prove it wrong. Everything it says makes sense. And amazingly, the very scientists who want to say that there is no God and he didn't create the entire world, some of those very same scientists are the same ones who want to tell you, well, the world could only have been created by an intelligent designer, so it must have been an alien. So you're telling me that I'm not allowed to believe in a God who can perform miracles, who designed everything, the life itself, the logic itself, thus making him the author of the world, meaning he's not bound by any of its laws. Can't exist because you can't see him, but the little green men who you've never seen are allowed to exist anyway. It's not how it works. The Bible's fact. If you have any questions regarding it, feel free to come see me. When I was a child, I loved science. In fact, I still like science. Science is how we can explain why when I add extra weight to this balloon, it's going to sink in the air. And when I take some of the weights off, it's going to rise back up. Science will let us tell you how high this balloon can soar before there's not enough air around it that it's just going to pop. Science lets me know that the very stage I'm standing on is sturdy enough to support me. Now, some people say, well, what you're telling me, though, it takes a leap of faith to believe in God. And I'm not a man of faith. I can't live off faith. And that ain't exactly true either, because most of these scientists are very famous people who do a lot of traveling. They get on an airplane. When they get on an airplane, they're putting faith in the fact that the technicians maintained it. They've done all the maintenance on it. Nothing's going to go wrong with it. It's got enough gas to get from where they're at to where they're going. They didn't go front and ask, see that fuel gauge? They're taking on faith that the pilot is actually a trained pilot. They didn't go upstairs and say, hey, I want to see your license to fly. Fact, we have faith in the lunchroom. How many of us actually check the stability of a chair before we sit down in it? Or because it was there and at the table, we trusted that it would hold us and just sat. If we can put faith into these everyday objects, then put your faith in God and believe full-heartedly in what he did and that it is the only way to salvation and that it is a free gift and that you are free to make your choice. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift of your word.